Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Katie Weaver Show. This is Katie. I'm your host. I'm so happy to be here. If you are listening live, it is the 25th of March at about 11 a.m. Pacific time. If you're listening to an archive or a replay, I want to also welcome you to the show. Oh, I want to let you guys know that I'm over in the chat room, and you can find that by heading over to 12radio.com. Click on the chat button, and you'll be redirected into the Facebook chat. And you'll see my banner there at the top of the page. But I also want to let you know that I am live streaming this event from YouTube and Facebook. So if you'd rather watch than listen, and today's one of those days that you really might want to, because we are going to be doing Oracle cards today and learning a spread together. So you might want to come over here and play. You can find me by going to YouTube or Facebook and look for Katie Weaver Domestic Mystic. So simple enough. Get my water going here, and yeah, it should be a fun show. So how is everybody? Happy equinox. Ostara, the spring equinox. I hope you guys had a nice Ostara. It's been an interesting time. This retro has brought some weird energy into my world. I'm dreaming, like, oh my gosh, I had like four straight nights of dreaming about my parents, and they weren't bad dreams, but they were just like disconnected dreams, you know, being in weird places, you know, having weird things go on. But two nights ago, I had an absolutely terrible dream about doing daycare. So you may know that one of my degrees is in early childhood education, and I did daycare for about 10 years. So, yikes. It's been 15 years since I did daycare, but still a horrific dream about daycare kids getting hurt and, oh, does it ever end? I still have dreams sometimes about working at Kmart, and I worked at Kmart when I was in high school and in college. It's been so long, and still I'll have a dream about Kmart here and there that is, yuck. It was yuck when I worked there. Why would I want to dream about it? Anyway, yeah, it's been wild energy. But I had a couple of show and tells. I showed you some pictures last week of some glass that I was getting ready to pull from the kiln, and now it's out. So I wanted to share you a few things. So this cute little daisy dish. Isn't she cute? This is all stuff that is for my fair this weekend. So our first fair of the season is this weekend. And then whatever doesn't sell there will go on Etsy, of course. But yeah, some fun things. So there was that guy. And then these, I made a cute little, couple of cute little like serving dishes. Isn't that cute? I cut petals and leaves until my fingers fell off. I promise. This is fingers that have fallen off. And then the bigger pink and purple plate. And that's just a few of the things I've been working on and making, but I think these are so, so cute. I was so proud of them. So, there you go. A little trinket dish or something. But I think these are fun. I actually thought it would be super fun to do a whole set of plates this size for, like, salad plates or something like that. But I don't know if I'll ever be that ambitious. We'll see. I discovered I really need to use my saw more and the rest of my hands less, because that's the least wear and tear on my hands is the saw. So after I made all of these by hand, I cut some other things out all on the saw, and actually it frankly went much better, and the quality is probably about the same, because by the time you cut them and grind them by hand or on the saw, you're probably looking at about the same quality, but my hands are way happier on the saw. So there you go. But anyway, pretty fun. Lots of fun stuff happening. So I'm excited for our first fair. It's tiny. It's Christy and I are sharing a single table in a senior citizen center. So it's no big deal at all. But I'm really focusing on glass. I'm going to have a lot of glass. But also, I got to take a pottery class. So I've done some slab pottery. I made myself some espresso cups that are cute, and I've just been using. I mean, they're real, you know, really amateurish, but they're cute and they work and I use them every day. And I want to do more pottery. I think pottery is so much fun. There's so many possibilities. It's so much more forgiving than glass. And I love glass, but I wanted to do something also, per normal for me. But so I was doing slab pottery and then I had an opportunity to buy a pottery wheel for a super good price. So we bought it. So then last Thursday, Scott and I were like, all right, we'd watched a whole bunch of YouTube videos. Matea has thrown clay before. She took a bunch of pottery in high school, so she'd showed us a couple of things. So I'm like, we're gonna just give it a try for fun. Y'all, my dining room will never be the same. The amount of wall I had to scrub in there by the time we were done, and we were terrible. We couldn't get a single cylinder really up. We couldn't really center our clay. Like all the things you're supposed to do, we did poorly. But it's fine. I have an aunt that's a lifetime potter. Her mother was a potter. Amazing women. So anyway, I made an appointment to take a class from her. So we went to their house on Saturday and learned that basically we did everything wrong. And yeah, we practiced with her for a couple of hours on her wheel. I actually threw two little bowls. I don't know how I'll do practicing on my own at home without her instruction, but I think we got some basics. So it's going to take tons of practice, but someday I might be able to throw off a wheel. We'll find out. But it was super fun, and it was just really nice to learn from a master like that. With glass, there's no one around me that teaches that really does glass, and so I've been very self-taught, and that's fine, but it was really nice to learn from somebody with her skill level. So, pretty fun. Yeah, my hands do get dried out from the clay, and it's kind of a double-edged sword because I get little nicks and cuts on my fingers from glass, and then I put them in clay and they get kind of dried out and then they don't want to heal. So, at any rate, it's kind of a yeah, I got to take good care of my hands for sure. I actually just bought some different little finger caught things to protect my fingers better doing glass because I've had too many cuts and I already don't heal super fast, so I'm trying to do better. I don't know if they were nitrile gloves. I would think it would be hard. I don't know. Maybe some do. The thought. Yeah. Okay. Well, I make espresso cups for sale someday. I have four that need to be fired, but they are baby level for sure. They're cute. They have daisies and mushrooms on them, but the cups themselves are pretty good. It's the handles that you go, oh dear, someone in fifth grade made this, which is fine, right? So, yes, I will definitely fire them and see how they turn out. I have some super fun glazes. Buying glaze is fun. Glaze is fun. Anyhow, I actually have glass in the kiln right now, too, but these cute butterfly wind chimes. Or, like, not wind chimes, like sun catcher things. We'll see how they turn out, but. Right? Just don't make handles, right? Just, I did have one is handleless because the handle broke off. So I just smoothed it down and went, you know what? To hell with it. We just don't need a handle. Anyway, also, Scott Weaver is in the doghouse. And I will tell you why. This morning, as I do every morning, my morning routine basically consists of getting up to feeding the pigs, feeding the dogs, and going straight outside and feeding the crows. And the crows are back in full force and they're outside screaming at me every morning, per normal. I went out to feed them. And when I got out to the feeder, there was a snake in the feeder. Yeah. And you know who put it there? I'm not even scared of snakes, but I was then because I wasn't expecting it. I hadn't even had coffee yet. I'm just wandering out there to feed. And I've got my little crow call ready and I've got my food ready and I walk up there and I'm face to face with a snake and I could kill him for this. So yeah, Scott's in trouble. A lot of trouble. Also, I don't think the crows want to eat a snake. I don't. And guess what? They didn't, because it was still in there a few minutes ago and I made him go get it out. So, ick. But we get little garter snakes in our front flower beds a little bit in the spring. And apparently he found one and thought he'd just toss it in there to see if the crows wanted it. Nasty business, but you know, they might. And there, I also get cats in there, so who knows? But ugh, God. No. Well, anyway, I actually wanted to do a show today about having some fun with Oracle spreads. So this is a, you know, it's an ongoing topic for us here in the New Agey world, and you probably know that I don't really do tarot, but I do Oracle cards, and I wanted to talk about that. That was the theme of Luminous. So a couple of things: if you subscribe, you already received it in your inbox this morning, but if you don't, I'm going to put a link in the chat room. Right, not Scott. How could he do such a thing? He's always looking for a reason to be a problem. I'll get him back. I just haven't decided yet what that's going to look like. All right, let me share my screen. So I put a link for Luminous in the chat rooms if you want to look it up for yourself. And I'm going to go ahead and pull it up on the screen here. So, of course, we are doing cards today. So I called this edition the Whispers from the Deck edition because, well, that's what we're going to do. I think sometimes it's fun to just refresh your. Knowledge, yes, that's the term that wants to come up, but it's not quite what I meant. I think it's good to refresh your knowledge, but I also think it's good to just remember some of the things that make you tick and have some fun. Sonia Choquette has always said that divination tools like cards, pendulums, other things are toys for the spirit, and I think that's so true. And I think that, you know, in a very positive way, but I just love being able to pull out stuff like this and just work on my intuition, deepen my spiritual tools. This is fun for me. And I know it is for a lot of you guys too. And so I think it's a good task every once in a while to kind of revisit what we do and why and refresh those ideas and maybe get some new ones. So, Renee said she played with snakes when she was a kid and the neighborhood kids didn't mess with her, right? You know, when we were first married, we owned a pet store for a couple of years, and that I have some moral objections to now, but at the time it made sense, and I learned a lot. Oh, did I learn a lot? But one of the things I had to learn a lot about was handling reptiles because we bought an existing store. So there was already all kinds of, you know, snakes and tarantulas and frogs and, you know, stuff that I had not been exposed to. And we were pretty good on fish and birds and, you know, most of the mammals, but the reptiles were a brand new thing for me. So learning to feed them and handle them was, I just had to grin and bear it, right? And for the most part, I did. I could handle just about anything. We had a very mean reticulated python that somebody had brought in on consignment that he broke out twice. I came in to open the store and he was loose. And I couldn't get a hold of him. And like he'd strike you. He could strike through a glove, but you'd like a leather glove, but you'd try to get a hold of him and he'd come at you and oh my God, he was terrifying. So, we called the owner of him and said he has to go. Like, no way in hell. No. But I got a, you know, I gained a really good appreciation. My mom loves snakes, so I never had snakes as a kid, but I wasn't afraid of them. You know, and lizards and stuff like that. If we were out hiking, if she saw a lizard, she'd run right over and pick it up. So I wasn't afraid of stuff like that. I just hadn't had a lot of experience with it. And but you know, when you're the only one in the store and somebody wants to buy a gecko, you're the guy that's going to fish it out of there, right? So you have to learn how to handle them safely and you have to get over your weirdness. So I did. Though I never was the feeder, I could not drop mice into snakes. I just couldn't do it. My heart couldn't do it. Scott had to be the feeder guy. But it was an experience, I'll give you that. Yeah. Oh, Sid said, thanks to my leopard gecko, I had to get used to handling large crickets. It's hard to chase escapees headed for the sofa cushions with a set of giant tweezers. Oh, dear God. I know exactly, Sid, what you're talking about. Yep. Lillian said, I'm not afraid of anything except bears. I have an unnatural fear of them and flying monkeys. Well, flying monkeys, I mean, come on. We all watched The Wizard of Oz as children and were immediately terrified of flying monkeys, for sure. But bears, interesting. I wonder if you have a past life experience with bears that was frightening. Okay. Well, let's get into it. So, oracle cards. Oracle cards in some ideation or another have been around for centuries, of course. Tarot can be traced back to the 15th century, but we know that people have used various forms of divination, from runes to tea leaves, and other things, for many, many, many years to seek guidance. But, 19th and 20th century is when more oracle decks and tarot decks took off and got a lot more popular, both for artists and spiritualists. A lot of artists have a goal of creating a deck because it's a way for them to express their art. And that's been true for many, many decades at least, There's so many decks out there, as you know. And if you collect decks, and you might, you probably have a ton of them. And honestly, for me, I buy a deck, and if I love it and it resonates, great. And if it doesn't, I give it away. But you'll also find decks over the years that become your absolute favorites and others that are just nonsense for you. I think to pick a good deck, you really have to try it out, Sometimes, and I love metaphysical stores that have decks open so that you can go just try them and play with them. And not everybody does, but that's my favorite, so you can really get a feel for a deck. But at any rate, if you get a deck that you don't like, you pass it on. Pamela said there's decks all over the house. Oh, me too. It's insane. And honestly, sometimes my kids come home or bring a friend over here that they're like, she needs a deck. Cool. Pull out 10, for them to play with and pick. Some never vibed with me. Some decks are way too specific. Like, do you remember back when Doreen Virtue, which, oh, I know, blah, but she put out this whole series of decks. This was really during the period of, Doreen Virtue in the case of the greedy publisher at Hay House, that they put out so many nonsensical decks and people were just buying them up like crazy because they wanted everything that she did. But they were so dumb. Like, and if you like these, then it's fine. Don't let me like rain on your parade. But for reading, especially professionally, they were stupid. Like the Archangel Raphael deck and the Archangel Michael deck, they were way too specific. The Professions deck, oh, I took all of those decks and mixed them up and kind of turned them into a big hodgepodge, and that worked okay. But yeah, that really kind of turned into, I think, more discretion for all of us in what to look for in a deck. But at any rate, you really do just find decks that resonate with you that work well. And you might use the same deck for a long time or just switch around a little bit here and there. But yeah, they really pump them out for a while. Me too, Suzanne. John Holland's Psychic Tarot is absolutely my favorite, has been for many years. It's my go-to always. And I have other decks that sometimes I pull out just for fun, but to read professionally and also just for, myself, that's the one I use on a daily. Yeah. All right. How to use oracle cards? Well, there's a lot of schools of thought here, and I like it because there are no rigid rules, right? This is not religion. We don't have strict rules here. And I think that's important. But so these are some ideas, but they're just ideas. Daily guidance. This has always resonated with me, that you just shuffle your deck every day, ask it, what do you need to know today, and pull out a card for a daily message. For meditation and journaling, that you pull a card out as a prompt, which is smart. Decision making, asking a very specific question and drawing a card for insight, we've all done that. For an energy check-in, to ask a card or a deck to tap into your current emotional spiritual state. All great ways to facilitate a deck. When you use your deck, when you draw your cards, close your eyes, take a deep breath, sit with those cards, put your hands over them. Some people like to fan them out on the table in front of them or fan them out in their hands. Some people like to just cut the deck, and the card that's on top is the card that they pull. Again, there's no wrong answer. You know what your procedure is, or if you don't, practice with a few things, but that's how it works. I always feel like if I just fan them out in my hands or in front of me, and I just run my hand over them, my hand will feel really magnetized to a certain card, and that's the one I pick up. Not too hard. Why they work? Well, a lot of people use oracle cards to predict the future, which is fine. It's not just about that, though, it's about perspective. Oracle cards can help to shift your mindset, help to highlight what you might not be seeing, which I think is really important, a very important function of cards. Sometimes cards will tell you the truth when you are telling yourself a lie, and encourage you to trust yourself. So, there's a lot of reasons that cards can be helpful and useful. We talked about choosing the right deck. So I made a list of 12 quick and simple spreads. 12. And I'm going to teach you a different one. So I guess I'm giving you 13 spreads today, which is a ton. But, it seems like every time you pick up a deck, the very first suggestion is abundance and prosperity. Fine. Good. Absolutely. But there's a lot of other reasons to use a deck. So I wanted to make sure we focused more there because we've done tons of prosperity work, right? And that's great and keep it up, but let's look at some other things. A single card draw for daily guidance. And the question prompt would be something like, what energy should I embrace today? Or what do I need to know today? Past, present, future. That's pretty much the probably the second one that we all learned, right? So you shuffle your cards while you're asking a question, and then you pull the main card, which is the past influence. The second card is the current energy or the current situation, and the third card is where you're headed if you stay on this path. And then you can start pulling cards from beyond there. What if I make this move, motion or this move or take this action, then what is the outcome I can expect? You can really get creative and start pulling multiple cards with that jumping off point of those three cards. Mind, body, spirit. This is a good one. A quick check-in on your overall well-being. What's on your mind that needs clarity? How your physical self is doing and what your soul wants you to know. And then we move into more introspection. Shadow work. This is a big one. People are very uncomfortable with shadow work a lot of times, but I find shadow work to be just a very important part of who you are that probably got thrown under a barrel at some point because other people were uncomfortable with you. So this is a good one. So the first card, what shadow aspect is seeking attention? The second, how is this shadow affecting you? The third, what's blocking you from healing it? The fourth, how to begin healing? And the fifth, the gift on the other side of this work. Okay, a self-love spread. This is a good one, especially if you just are feeling low, you're feeling down on yourself, things aren't really coming together. the way you want them to. This is a good one. If you catch yourself with a lot of negative self-talk, I like this spread. So it's four cards. The first card, what makes me uniquely powerful? The second card, how can I show myself more love? The third card, what limiting belief do I need to release? And the fourth card, how will embracing self-love transform me? And then we get into manifesting spreads because we gotta. This is the five card. The first card is for your current energy. The second is for the energy of your goal. The third is what's blocking you. The fourth is what action will bring you closer. And the fifth is a message from the universe. And then an abundance spread. The first card is what's blocking my abundance. The second card, what energy should I embody? The third, what action will attract abundance? And the fourth, a message from my higher self. Now remember, as you're pulling your cards, they're a jumping off point, right? When you pull a card, you really have to sit with that card and decide, what does this mean for me? And a lot of times you will have some kind of an inkling that comes to you really quickly. And sometimes it's not very specific to what's on the card. But maybe it's just the picture, or maybe it's just the feeling, or maybe it's the number on the card, or maybe it is the message of the card that takes you to a more specific place in your life or in your thought process. You have to trust that. This is what it's about. There's a new moon spread here, a full moon spread. Here's some creative and unique spreads because we've all done most of those spreads. Or if you haven't, I'm giving you some ideas today to play with, I'm sure. But how about an elemental spread? Aligning with earth, air, fire, water, and spirit. So, earth, what grounds me? Air, what needs clarity and focus? Fire, what fuels my passion? Water, what emotions need attention? And spirit, what's my soul whispering? How often have you thought about someone that you know and thought they don't really know themselves? It's very clear in some people that they don't, and it's very clear in some people that they do. Do you? Do any of us? How well do you know yourself? You change. You're not the same person you were when you were 16 or 22. Or maybe 45, right? We all change. And I think spreads like these are interesting to help you to reacquaint yourself to you here and there, or to help you remember the parts of you that the world maybe stripped away or tried to throw away. I think that using oracle cards in an introspective way is a really interesting way to reconnect to your own spirit and to reconnect to your goals, because again, that changes over time. What you thought you needed your world to be, what you wanted your life to be a decade ago, is likely not at all what your goals are now, or 2 decades ago, or maybe even a year ago. Who knows, right? But doing some work like this helps you to redefine what you want and where you're headed and just reacquaint yourself with you. The hero's spread is awesome. I love this one. This is a map. Where am I now? What's the call to adventure? What challenges lie ahead? What strengths or allies will support me? What lesson must I learn? What transformation awaits me? And what is my reward or gift from this journey? What a great way to map out a year or a month or a goal. The soul purpose spread. I go back and forth on this because I know that a lot of people ask me this all the time. What is their soul purpose? And my answer is always what you're doing right now, because it is. But if you'd like some deeper guidance into how you can expand on that, this is a good spread for that. So, if I haven't completely overwhelmed you with 12 different spreads, those are all things to consider trying out and playing with a little bit. There's a lot of rules that may or may not apply. One of them, when I had my store, people would come in and look at decks and say, "Oh, I really love this one, but I heard that you're not allowed to buy your own deck." That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. But that has been a superstition in like the tarot world and the oracle world for a long time, for whatever reason. Yes, you're allowed to buy your own deck. Yes, you're allowed to be in charge of your own destiny. Yes, you are allowed to make decisions for yourself. If you want a deck, buy it. You have every right to do that. That's just a weird superstition. Put that away if that's something that you've heard that has made you hesitate from picking yourself up a deck. That's bananas. Secondly, one of the ones that comes up a lot is upside down cards. I'm not going to tell you yes or no on upside down cards. I'll tell you that I don't do upside down cards because I am super haphazard in the way that I shuffle and the way that I pull cards, and I'm not really sure what upside down would be. So I don't do upside down cards. I just pull cards. And if you want to do upside down cards, that's fine. You just need to know that as you're pulling your cards. That needs to be part of your pattern, right? What do upside down card means? Upside down cards mean? Well, that also depends on who you talk to. But the basic idea is that if you get an upside down card, that could be the opposite of what the card says or a challenge of what the card says. Again, I'll let you do you. Personally, upside down cards have never resonated with me and I don't do that. But again, you do you. Just know that. As you are blessing your deck, as you are shuffling those cards, you need to know what your own procedure is, and that will help you to give yourself the most accurate reading. Clearing cards. Is it true that no one else is allowed to touch your cards? That again is up to you. I don't care if people touch my cards. It doesn't bother me at all. I don't think my deck's ruined forever. I don't think it affects the way I work. Back when I had my store and I read in front of people constantly, I always let people touch my cards and they were often surprised and said, "Oh, I had a reading from so and so and she said that I wasn't allowed to touch her cards." I don't know. I think everything can be cleared, you know? You can take your cards and use sage or any other kind of incense that you like to use for that, like Palo Santo or Dragon's Blood incense or anything else that you feel like is a good clearer for you to clear your cards. You can put your cards out and let them be cleared in the moonlight. That doesn't have to go outside, but that could just go in a moony window, like a sunny window. You can put them in a singing bowl and give them a few clangs. You could also put a chime over top of them. Sound therapy is a great way to clear things. I was always taught to just knock on your cards, to just knock the energy out of them that you don't want there. Just give them a few hard knocks. That's how I still do it. I always knock on my cards. And that's kind of how we've done it in my family, and it makes me laugh because, we get together once a week and play cards, and frequently you'll see somebody shuffling and knocking on their cards. Gotta knock your win out of these cards so that I can win next time. But again, that's up to you. How do you store your cards? Some people really like to store them in a bag, a red bag or a red lined bag. A red lined bag helps to protect the energy of your cards. And so a lot of people like that. A lot of people will put a crystal in with their cards or in a box, that is sacred to you. But that's again up to you in how you want to store your cards. My cards stay right on my desk because I use them every single day. So at least this deck doesn't get put away. It stays right next to my computer. And I just clear them frequently and they're sitting in a sunny window and they get that light. But again, that's a good choice for you. The last thing is jumper cards. Somebody mentioned that. Tara, I think, did. So Tara said that her favorite are jumper cards. And what's a jumper card? That means you're shuffling the deck and a card just comes flying out. Or you drop it on the floor. Or, for whatever reason, a card comes disengaged from the deck. Always pick up that card and make it a part of your reading. It doesn't even have to be one of the Like, say you're doing a three-card spread and you shuffle your cards and you have a jumper, just sit it aside and hold on to it. Do your regular routine, pull your cards, do your reading, look at that jumper card and let it be a part of your reading. It obviously needed to be a part of it for some reason. So if you have a card that hops out like that, don't put it back. Hang on to it. Take a look at it. Let's see. Just wanted to look at a few comments. I know. I love that you guys are passionate about cards, because I am too. This is a fun conversation for all of us. Angie Hartfield's, yes. Several of you said that Angela Hartfield's cards have the most amazing dimension and depth in the artwork. Agree. I love Angie's cards. In fact, we have all of Angela's decks. You know, Scott was good friends with Angela. He was her producer for years, and even after she quit doing radio, they stayed in contact clear until she died. And her death was a huge heartbreak. And he has all of her decks. He even has a deck that wasn't published in the US, it was only published in Japan. That she told Scott one time that she didn't even have a copy of it, but she knew it was out there, and we managed to run one down. So, yeah, we have all of Angie's decks, but I agree that her decks are absolutely beautiful. Most of her decks were illustrated by Josephine Wall. And Josephine Wall, very famous in the New Age world in art, and in doing decks, calendars, stuff like that. When she was doing her last deck, she said that Josephine had sent her 300 8x10 proofs. And so she needed to pick through because I think she was having, I think that it was a 52 card deck. So she had 300 pictures to choose from to assign to her deck. So yeah, wild, but a lot of beautiful cards. And this is the Whispers of Healing deck. And they're phenomenal. But yeah, Josephine Wall, amazing, amazing artist. And then with Angie's flair to add to it, beautiful stuff. I also love that we have all these decks from Angie to, her spirit really lives on in the work that she did. Loved her. Loved her a lot. I had the opportunity to meet her in person one time in Colorado. And I just adored her immediately. Just a wonderful, wonderful human. All right, let's move on through Luminous and we'll get to the reading we're going to do together. So if you're wanting to do a reading with me today, make sure that you grab a deck while we finish this up. Kelly's article this week, and her podcast. And you can listen to the podcast if you go right up here to Refeminist History. Pardon me. Her article this week is The Real Housewives of the Revolution, and it is so good. Absolutely love it. So she's talking about Martha Washington, Elizabeth Schuyler Hamilton, and Dolly Madison. And then she's going to carry on with this for a while. But I love it because if these men are out, doing the whole revolution thing, their wives have a say. At least at home, their wives have a role. They would have to. There were huge sacrifices made, huge decisions made. You know it. So I love that she's digging into that. So thank you, Kelly, as always, for all your awesome work. All right, let's finish Luminous and then we'll come back to the spread. So Christie's energy exercise this week is the Sacred Journey of the Heart. Just such a good one if you feel like your heart needs a little extra tending. Lots of crime over at True Crime Squad. Lori Vallow's next trial is getting ready to start next Monday, and my God. Well, it doesn't. A jury selection starts next Monday, but oh, am I ready for another trial? I don't know. However, this is going to be wild as hell because she is pro se. She's representing herself in all of her sass. It's coming. All right, new little ad for Christy for her 3D printing site for Fidget Whimsy. She's got a lot of really cute stuff going on over there. If you just click on the picture, it'll take you to her site, but she's doing the cutest stuff. So go check her out. And that, lots of meditations, of course, over at Planet Meditation. And that is it for Luminous. So Let's get into. No, I think I do want to. Think I am going to keep my Luminous up and take my spread from there. So we're doing a spread today for balance because I know that a lot of us, a lot of me, a lot of you, we're really trying to get some balance going in our worlds right now. And it's not always easy to do. We live in a wild world, and you might be feeling out of balance with what's going on in your life. A lot of people are. So I thought that this would be a good spread for us to work on that. So we're going to do things my way or your way, right? Don't let me tell you how you have to do your cards. I don't want to. If you don't know and you're new and you want to do things my way, that's awesome. But if you have a style already, you have a procedure that you like to do your cards with, please do it. Please do it. I don't ever want to steer the ship in a way that you guys feel like what you're doing is wrong because that's just nonsense. Okay. You're going to take your cards. For me, give them a little knock. So, I'm going to shuffle my cards three times. That's my procedure. A lot of people like to shuffle three times. That's a good solid number. It's a magical number, so a lot of people like to stick with that. It feels right for me, so I always shuffle three times. So, I'm just going to ask what I need to know about balance in my life. So, I'm going to recommend that's what you do as well. And I'm going to hold that space while I shuffle three times. Okay. Well, my cards are all shuffled and ready to go. So, we need to take a look at the spread and see how many cards we're pulling. And it is six. I like to pull all of my cards. I don't want to have to go back and pick up the deck. I want to have them all pulled in front of me and ready to go. So, I'm going to do that now. I fan my cards. So, I'm just going to fan them out. In a big fan, such as this. Hey Jane, good to see you. So, something like that. Fan your cards out or lay them out in front of you, or if you have another technique that you like better, by all means, do that. So, we're going to pull the cards and then we're going to go back and flip them and interpret them. I don't flip any of my cards until I get to them in the reading. If I flip them all as I go, this ADD brain goes everywhere. So it makes way more sense for me to pull them one at a time, look at them one at a time. So the first card is the current energy. So that's what I'm going to ask to see. And I'm just putting them face down in front of me in order from left to right. The second card is the energy drain. The third card is hidden strengths. The fourth card is what to release. The fifth card is what to embrace. And the sixth card is a message from my higher self. Okay, I had no jumpers. There are extra hangers honors falling out of the deck or coming with. So I just have my six cards in front of me. You may have had some jumpers or extra cards. Sometimes you'll go to pull a card and two come out. And if that happens, I keep both of those cards with that position. Okay, so let's start with number one. So the first card is the current energy. What am I energetically? Where am I energetically right now? So this is the card that helps re reflect your current state. Are you overwhelmed, motivated, scattered, grounded? This is where you kind of start understanding what's going on under the surface. So that card for me is heartache and loss. So pull yours and think about how that applies to you. I think that for me, this probably applies in multiple ways. Grief is always under the surface for me, as you know. But also, I've been feeling very frustrated over my health recently and just feeling limited in ways that I don't like being limited. And I feel like both of those things are kind of just under the surface of everything I'm doing recently. So it's a good reminder. So consider what that card is for you and what you feel like it means for you. And again, that is the current energy. This is a good check-in. How are you doing? What's it about for you right now? And then the second card is the energy drain. What's pulling me out of balance? My card is harmony. So, what's pulling me out of balance for me? It is the lack of harmony. Not in my life personally, but in the world. You guys, many of you are like me in that we're empaths and we like people to get along. We like the world to get along and we like things to be sunshine and roses all the time. And when it's not, we feel disquieted, discombobulated. We don't like the energy of conflict and we are so conflicted right now. It's just exhausting. So for me, definitely that resonates. All right, card three, hidden strengths. What strength do I have that can support me? Here's where the deck reminds us that you are more capable than you realize. This card highlights an untapped skill, mindset, or an inner power that you can lean on to regain balance. And that card for me is moving on. So, what's my hidden strength? My ability to let go. Let go of things that isn't serving me. Let go of things that isn't helping me. Right? And is that an inner strength for a Cancer? Well, I'm a lot better at it than I used to be. That's for sure. But just looking at the beginning of this reading, this is really telling me that moving on from putting too much energy into things that I can't change, moving on from spending too much time focusing on things that drag me down is going to be key for me. Okay. Card number four, what to release. What belief, habit, or obligation do I need to let go of? This is always an interesting one. We're kind of dragons, right? We collect things, we don't want to release anything. Even the stuff that's not helping us, we might be hesitant to release. Sometimes balance requires clearing space. This card points out what's no longer serving our well-being. Whether it's a perfectionist mindset, overcommitting, an outdated routine, sometimes it's something to do with your health or with your general behavior. Sometimes it's a person, place, thing. Sometimes it's a job. You know. So the card I pulled is sacrifice. So what do I need to release? The idea that I have to sacrifice for everyone else's happiness or everyone else's comfort level. I've noticed myself lately kind of having better boundaries on things. Like, for example, I feel like every time I sit down to cut glass or grind glass, my phone rings. And after I have all my PPE on, I'm gloved, I have my goggle things on or my glasses, I have my respirator on, my phone rings. And you know what I do? I strip all that stuff off and answer the phone. Instead of going, "Can't talk right now, I'm in the middle of something." And the last few days I've gone, "No, I can talk to you later right now," unless it's work, of course, but just random chit chats. I'm going, "No, I'm in the middle of something. I need to do what I'm doing." That's new for me. I usually drop absolutely everything every time. It's a small thing, but it's a thing. But for you, what is it? What do you need to release? What do you need to get rid of? For me, it is that need to release being liked by everyone. That's a big one for me. And needing to release having to please everybody all the time. That's a hard one, I think, for a lot of us. Some people don't care at all, and I envy the hell out of you. But for me, that's a biggie. Okay. Number five. The card is what to embrace. What energy or action will bring me closer to balance? This is the recentering card. It reveals what new habit, mindset, or focus will help bring equilibrium, perhaps a boundary, a creative passion, more rest, or some other change that helps bring you into balance. So the card for me is emotional withdrawal. Now, when this card comes up in this deck, a lot of times people have a little bit of an energetic response to it that might not be very positive, but an emotional withdrawal sometimes is exactly what you need. If you have too much energy in winning, right? You see this with people in sports fans, that they live and breathe their team. And when their team loses, they are physically affected. Their life is affected. They are harmed. They are hurt. They're upset. They can't sleep that night, right? You see people that do that. And it's because they're a part of something. And human beings need to be a part of something. It's a part of our nature. When you're a part of something and that something isn't going your way, can you withdraw your energy from that? Or will you let it muff you up? That's the decision, right? And I mean, that's just obviously one example, but withdrawing your energy from things that are just making you feel like shit is a powerful, powerful skill and gift. And sometimes it's really hard to do. So it's a good reminder for me to pull myself back from things that aren't helping or aren't serving me or that don't really matter, right? It's important. You guys know I love Boise State basketball. I love them. And we buy season tickets every year. We go to as many games as we can. Love Boise State. And yet we're at the end of the season where, teams lose out and their season ends. And I used to follow like the Boise fan pages on social media. I still do, but I don't really go look at them anymore because people are insane. They're so wrapped up. They're so pissed off if they lose that they say terrible things about the players. These are kids, college kids. Terrible things about the players, about the coaches, about the refs, about anything that they can pick on or pick at. And it's appalling to me. And I finally went, it's stealing the joy of following this team to also follow the fan base because people are out of their minds and their behavior is gross. And I also caught myself being too involved in whether they won or lost instead of just enjoying the sport and the performance and the energy of it. And again, it's a small thing. This is just recreation and entertainment. But it was a real lesson for me in don't get too involved in this kind of energy. Do things because you enjoy them, because you love them, not because you have to be so involved in it that you are going to be devastated if they lose. That's bananas. How does that enrich anybody's life? It doesn't. And then the sixth card, a message from my higher self. What final wisdom do I need to hear right now? This card ties it all together with a closing piece of advice or reassurance from the universe, a reminder that balance isn't about doing more, but about aligning with what truly matters. And the card I pulled is material, or sorry, movement, choices, and decisions. Movement, choices, and decisions. It's a great reminder card for me and for all of us that you always have a choice. You're never going to be able to always be in charge of what happens to you, right? You are a human being having a human experience. Or maybe you're a sentient soul having a human experience, but you're in a human body right now having a human experience, and stupid shit's going to happen in your life. It is, because it does to all of us, because that's just the way it is. But you always have an option of how you respond, of how you rebound, of what you choose to do next. You're going to be dealt some crappy hands in life. We all do. We all get them. I wish I could say you wouldn't, or that we could, put ourselves in a rubber room where nothing bad ever happens, but that's just not the way it is. But again, and sometimes it takes some time. I don't want to spread toxic positivity here that you have to stay, positive with a smile on your face every second. You don't, and you won't. So let's not even set that up. But you can continue to take a deep breath, to take a step back, and continue to make choices and decisions that are in your highest and best good. And sometimes you won't, and that's okay too. You're doing the best you can. But it's a good reminder. You always do have a choice. So that's how it laid out for me. So I'm curious to know how it laid out for you. Occasionally, you'll get a card that seems like nonsense. If you get a card in spreads like this, that the position it's in just does not tell you anything, it doesn't ring true in your mind, nothing comes up for you that makes you, think, pull another card. There's nothing wrong with that. It happens sometimes. Also, if you have a deck that you love that has a card or two that never resonate with you, that always are nonsensical, take them out of the deck. It's your deck. You can do that. I've thrown cards away from decks many times that just never really made sense, never had a message that resonated. It's okay to do that. Sid said betting on pro baseball has resulted in players getting death threats. Oh, yeah. Yeah, we have completely lost touch with anytime you watch a sporting event, someone's going to lose. There is a chance that your team's going to lose, and somehow people have completely forgotten that. Yeah, and forgotten to just be gracious with loss. Yeah, and that the priority is fun and entertainment. It's a game. It's supposed to be a game. I know. We're crazy. Oh, thank you, Lillian. I appreciate that. Oh, Renee's using Angie Hartfield's Whisperings of Lord Ganesha. Beautiful deck. Really beautiful deck. Yeah. My favorite deck is the John Holland deck, but we have run ourselves completely out of time. I want to remind you that I'm a professional psychic advisor over at 12listen.com, and you can come over there and get a reading with me anytime. I'm there every single day. So if there's anything I can help you with, a psychic reading, I do a lot of energy work over there, mediumship, animal communication. I'll help you in any way that I can. And of course, I'll be back here next week, same place, same time. So thank you all so much for being here. Thanks for being on my path with me. I love and appreciate you guys a lot. And I hope you have a great week. This has been yet another production of The Katie Weaver Show here on 12 Radio, where we're changing the way you listen to the world.